you guys would make your way in, come join us, go ahead and stand with us. We're very glad you're here. You know, this is our favorite place to be on a Sunday morning. I have a really sweet story for you about Willow. So Starlight, which we're singing in just a minute, is her absolute favorite song. And we were singing it last night, and she said, "Mommy, I want to come on stage and sing with you." I was like, "That'd be great. Actually, I would love that." And she said, "Never mind. I want to go to the nursery and make new friends." I was like, "Hey, that's great too." And she said, "No, I want to come. I do. I want to come and sing with you, but I'll stand in the back." It's like, that's okay. You know what happens if you're standing in the back over there, or if you're standing over here, and I'm on the stage over here. Do you know what happens? And she said, "Yeah, you touch God." And I was like, wow. Wow. If a five-year-old can walk in here with the expectation to touch God and to have a transformative experience, how much more can we just choose to surrender, just choose to step in and experience God's transformative power? So I'm just so thankful that we're here today and that we get to celebrate that. So you have a choice this morning. Do you want to step into that? Do you want to touch God this morning? So let this music, let these voices surrounding you open your eyes to something new today, to experience God in a new way, to feel His touch, to feel His presence, His vast, unending, magnificent, magical love and power. God, we thank you for your presence. We enter in with grateful hearts this morning. Whatever season you're in right now, whatever season you're in right now, God is just saying, let go, step in, surrender, and go with the flow, because I'm here. I'm here. If you need the altar this morning, come to the altar. Whatever it is, you need to let go and surrender to experience God's joy of whatever you're walking in right now. He wants you to have purpose. He wants you to take your circumstances and see joy at the end. So thank you, God, for your presence. We are here today. We're stepping into your presence. We are here to celebrate your love and this life that you give us, God.
Starlight in the dark, endless miles can't conceal you, and every glimmer is a spark, catching fire as you break through. Oh, you're not far. I'm good. coming close. And oh, even as I wait, you coming close. You're like starlight in the dark. Endless smiles can't conceal you. And every glimmer is a spark, catching fire as you break through.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
we really, really strive to see people in the world through God's eyes. And when I look at you, all I'm filled with is compassion and love and gratefulness. And I see some of you so, so heavy. If you're not feeling heavy today, maybe you felt heavy this week, and maybe you'll feel heavy next week. We go through seasons. Whatever season you're in right now, whether you're grieving a loss of some sort, whether you are flowing in abundance, whether you are hiking up a mountain, free falling from the sky, drudging through the trenches, stuff will never stop happening. Stuff will always be there. Oh, we're singing a new song today. It says, Jesus, make new wine. Make me into new wine. In the crushing, in the pressing, you're breaking new ground. And I don't think God has ever done breaking new ground in us. I think that is the mystery of his love and his existence, and we will never fully know. I don't think that in our lifetime we can reach that. We don't make it to the mountaintop and know God fully. But it makes it easier when we stop saying, I want to change, I want out of this situation, God, but keep me comfortable, please. Just keep me comfortable here. This feels good, not out of my comfort zone. That's not where new ground breaks. That's not where growth happens. That's not touching God fully. So I see things in here that are being held on to, and all God is saying is just trust me. Just trust me. You don't have to see what's next. It doesn't have, it's not rainbows and butterflies all the time. It's really not. But it's what you do by choosing to step into God's transformative power and making a choice to take this thing and get joy out of it. We can do that. David said yesterday, it's not that everything happens for a reason, but everything that happens can have purpose. And when we're being crushed and pressed, walking through these things, and God is aging us, and the more we get through it, the better we taste and the more joy we can experience and give that to other people. So whatever it is that you might be holding on to, I think that these prayers that we are singing today, just take a deep breath and let it go. Create the space. Say, God, I trust you. I trust you, God. Wherever you're at, if it's good, whatever's next, whatever's coming, I don't have to see it. I just need to follow your voice. And that voice inside of you is who you are. And that is the Holy Spirit leading you through your life. So just take a moment. Let go of that thing. Let go of those things. Say, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I can step out and be a little uncomfortable for your glory, for my glory, to go to my next glory with you. Thank you for your presence. Your transformative power. The joy we get to experience in the darkest of times. Thank you. keep letting go of that thing. Keep telling him I trust you. I'm just going to say I trust you enough until that thing is gone, until it gets smaller and smaller in the forefront of my mind and it disappears, until you become stronger. When you become stronger and more prevalent in my life, then I become stronger. I become one with you. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. Sing this prayer with me again. shedding off the old. Jesus, bring new life out of me. Let go of my old thoughts, my old patterns, my old ways. You cannot put new wine into an old wineskin, Father. So we are stepping in this morning, and we are walking away from our past and stepping into a new future, Father. We are at the altar here today. We are releasing ourselves. My fear is gone. My guilt is gone. My shame is gone. All there is freedom. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you.
God is good. You may be seated. Awesome. 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 I'll just remind you of a couple of things. One is your connection card that is in your bulletin. That's the way that you communicate with us. And you put that in the offering or the box that is in the back of the sanctuary. That is for your connection cards. And if you brought an offering this morning, you'll drop that in the box. We appreciate that. We know a lot of you do that online. But this Wednesday night, I want to remind you, it's First Wednesday. You don't want to miss it. Shane and Lauren will be back leading us in worship. Pastor Joey will be here bringing the message. You don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, Mojo Ministries, good stuff, good stuff. Let's pray and bless our offering today. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we get to come to the house of God. Lord, that we can participate, Father, Lord, in the goodness, that we can reach out and touch you. Thank you for, Lord, this praise team that led us into that. Thank you, Lord, for the tithes and the offerings and the alms, Lord, that is making a difference in people's lives in this community and in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to give you an update on Larry Green. Ashley and Larry are members here, and Larry had a diving accident last weekend and broke his neck, and here's the last. His vitals have stayed stable for the last few days. He's able to move his whole body, but can only move his arms right now. Able to feel his whole body, but can only move his arms right now. They're coming in Tuesday to do a tracheotomy, and hopefully the next day be transferred to the Shepherd Center and to start his rehab. So, would you join hands with the person next to you? Father, we lift Larry up. We thank you, God, for the doctors and nurses and the medical field, and we just pray wisdom over them, and God, just direct them in every step of the way. We thank you for a speedy recovery. Thank you for strengthening the family and being with Ashley in a special way. Lord, we lift up Wendy Sandiford right now. Is going to have a heart cath tomorrow, that they'll be able to find exactly what's going on with her. And we just thank you, God, for all the goodness that comes through your people. As we just join our faith together, we know, God, that you hear us and you answer us when we call. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. This morning is going to have one of two things going to happen. This is going to be the shortest message you ever heard or the longest message you ever heard. So now I know I got you praying for the shortest message. We're all going to be in one accord. So I know there's some spiritual strength coming my way because I've already got you praying. We started talk last day. This month is really a month about grace. We're kind of shifting from ancient paths to grace. And say grace. Don't you love that word? I love the word. Grace to the Greek was the most powerful, beautiful word there was or there is. It means, it stands for everything that's beautiful. It stands for everything that's gracious. It stands for everything that's winsome. Say winsome. That word is going to be, do you know we're supposed to be winsome people? Jesus, they said about Jesus, he grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and with men. Favor with God and with men. We are to be winsome. Graciousness makes you a winsome person. People want to be around gracious people. How many know that? People like they're drawn to gracious people. And so grace is this beautiful word that we talked about last week. I'm going to talk about it this morning, but I want to kind of rehearse a little bit. We talked about last week. Maybe you weren't here. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, a passage of scripture that's probably read, quoted, talked about, and I don't care where you come from, Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, whatever you are, you can probably almost quote this scripture. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. God has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He has created us anew. Like he created us once and he created us anew. How many are glad that God creates anew? He can renew things. He can refresh things. He can make things new again. He can make my relationship new again. He can make my marriage new again. He can make my friendships new again. He can make my callings new again. He can make my passion new again. He can make my motivation new again. He can make my zeal new again. He can make my want to again. He can make my get up and go again. He can make my whatever it is, he can make it come alive in me again. Man, that's good stuff. He can make it alive again. And so he says, this grace that he gives, and here's some things we said about grace last week. What I crave when I've done wrong is what? Grace. Come on. What do you crave when you've done wrong? Grace. What do children crave when they got caught with the hand in the cookie jar? Grace. What do they crave when you told them not to do this and they did that anyway? What do they crave? Grace. What do you crave when you've done wrong? But it's the most difficult thing, and I'm hesitant to give when I'm done wrong. But it's the most difficult thing, and I hesitate to give when I've done wrong. That's why I love communion, because Jesus took grace to the ultimate. In the night he was betrayed, he gave grace. Not the next day, not a week later, not a month later. The moment it was happening to him, he gave grace. The moment they were crucifying him, spitting on him, railing at him, ridiculing him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's ultimate grace. That not grace after I've been canceled. Not grace after someone's told me, "Well, you know you got to forgive." Not grace a year later. Thank God for grace is always there. But grace is for today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is. So it's for today. I'm happy and thrilled that it can be next month, it can be next year. But man, what if we just all started giving it right now? That the moment I get it, I give it. The moment I'm done wrong, I give grace. The moment I do wrong, I get grace. Right? It embodies compassion and forgiveness. You can't have compassion and forgiveness without grace. I was called years ago to go to a church. Actually, the name of the church was Grace. And it was a Baptist church. And they had gone through a real revival and a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit there. And they asked me, and I never understood fully why they asked me to come. And I really didn't know until afterwards why they asked me to come. They didn't ask me to come from a real pure motive. They asked me to come to catch me in a trap. And I didn't know that. And so I preached this message on grace because that's what they were. Their church was called that. It's not anywhere in Griffin. And so after I got through preaching, they started coming up to me. And one guy came up to me and said, "Man, I really love that message on love." I said, "No, you saw it as love, but it's grace. Because without grace, you can't have love. Because if I don't walk in grace, I can't walk in love. Because grace is unmerited, undeserved favor that I give, and you don't have to deserve it. You don't have to prove it. Whatever you do doesn't matter. I give it anyway, because that's what grace is. That's what Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment of grace. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We talked about last week when the Apostle Paul was holding Stephen's clothes when he was being stoned to death, consenting to his death. And Stephen says, "Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Forgive them," just like Jesus said, "Lord, forgive them." And then it says Peter saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He's never been seated. He's always seated at the right hand of the Father. But when he did what Jesus did, while he's being persecuted and railed upon, he forgave the moment it happened. Wow. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to walk in it, that I'm that quick. I'm that quick that when I'm done wrong, I don't take it. I'd say, "God, forgive them, for they know not what." I want to be that quick with grace. Because the quicker you are with grace, the better off things are going to be. Because I'm going to tell you something. When it doesn't come to us, obstacles get in the way. Obstacles get in the way. Maybe talk about that in another moment. It's not, grace is not the opposite of law. You know what the opposite of grace is? No grace. There's no opposite. You either have it, you give it, or you don't. There's no opposite. You can't, there's no substitute for it. There's no either or. There's no both and. It is or it's not. You got to give it or you don't give it. It's just that simple. The one thing that Jesus stood against constantly was graceless religion. He couldn't stand graceless religion. Again, read Matthew 23 and you will see what he thought about graceless religion. You want this done to you, but you do this to other people. The ones that crucified Jesus believed in God, but they didn't know God. They didn't know him. God created everything, and then after he created, not one thing did God create benefit him. Not one thing. He didn't need it. How many know God didn't need an earth? God didn't need trees. He didn't need plants. He didn't need oceans. He didn't need mountains. He didn't need rivers. He didn't need fish. He didn't need animals. He didn't need any of this. He's been self-existence for eternity. He don't need any of that. But he created it all for us, and then he said, "Here, it's yours. I give it to you." And then he told man, he says, "All these trees are yours. Just one's mine. Just leave that one alone. Everything else you can have. They stepped over the line. You know the story, what they did. After that, obstacles got in the way. Jesus, God said to Adam, man, all this was for you, gracious gifts to you, and I only ask you for one thing not to do, and you do it. One thing. How many would love for God to back up and say, okay, I'm giving you one rule? How many would like to start this thing all over again, and God put us in this beautiful paradise, and we have hundreds, maybe thousands of trees, who knows, and he says, just leave the one alone. I bet all of us would go, I believe I could do better than that. I guarantee you this whole, all the Bible says the angels are intrigued with what's going on planet Earth. They're intrigued with what's happening. They don't even understand what's happening. They don't understand what it means to step over the line. They don't know what that means. Jesus came to experience what we experience every day so he can help the Father to understand what we're going through. That's why he did what he did, why he came, not only to show us God, but to show God us. Y'all, do you get that? He didn't just come to show us God. He came to show us to God. God never walked in flesh. Jesus did. He was all God and all man. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But he knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be drawn into it. But he overcame it. And that's what grace is for us to do, is to overcome. Not to be overcome, but to overcome. Are you with me? So some things happened when Adam and they sinned. There was pain in childbirth. How many know there's still pain in trying to birth anything? You ever try to birth something, there's pain in it. Nothing, you can't birth anything without pain. You don't birth a business. You don't birth a vision. You don't birth a passion. You don't birth anything. You don't birth a ministry unless there's some difficulty and pain in it. It can't be birth. There was pain in relationships. I think everybody knows that, don't you? Pain in relationships. Says Eve, your desire is going to be to rule over your husband, but he's going to rule over you. Your relationships are not, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough. Adam, it's not going to be as easy. Now I put you in here to till this garden, but when you got it, there was no obstacles in the way. There were no thorns, there were no thistles. You didn't have to do anything but tend to it. Now, let me show you what tending to the garden was then, okay? Tending to the garden is how I garden now. You know how I garden? I garden every year. I tend a garden called Ingles. I tend it. I go into it, and I start over here in the produce aisle. And it's already there. There's no thorns, no thistles. And I just start picking it and just putting it in my basket. And I'm going, this is awesome. And I go around and I go to the meat market. And I don't have to raise the cow, feed the cow, kill the cow, process the cow. I just start picking. Give me that one. Yeah, no, that one. This big one? Yeah, the big one. Yeah, that one. I want that one. And I just fill this cart up and take it. And they put it in bags for me. They will even take it to your car if you want them to. That's how Adam tended to the garden. It was just constantly growing. And he just went and picked it. What you want today, Eve? I think I'll take some bananas and I don't know, I'll just go get it. Things became difficult. And so Jesus comes along and he wants to redeem what was difficult. Say, Jesus came to redeem what was difficult. He came to make it easy. But before that, you got to understand what grace is a little more. I'm not sure you really understand grace yet. I'm not sure I understand grace. I think I got it, Joey, every now and then. I think, I got this grace thing down. I really think I'm pretty much a grace guy. I really do. I'll boast in that. I really believe I'm a grace. But it ain't easy. Because I still give grace sometimes with grief. I still give grace sometime with dadgummit. How much more grace do I have to give you? I still do that. And I got to get to the place that when I give the grace, I just give the grace. And I don't complain about giving the grace. That's the ultimate grace giving. I'm really good at giving it, but I'm not perfect at giving. I still grumble and complain sometimes when I'm giving grace, but at least I give it. I'm a complain giving grace person every now and then, but you know, it's the next best thing to not being a complain, grumbling grace giver. I don't know where you find that in Scripture, but anyway, I am every now and then a complaining, grumbling grace giver, but I still give it. But I still give it. I'll let that sink in a moment. Because if I keep doing it out of my pain and out of my complaining, one day I'll reach the apex of grace giving and I'll stand in the righteousness that I am, that God's given me and able to give it without complaining. Okie dokie. God says to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, this wicked, wicked city. And I want you to tell them to repent. Not only them, I want you to tell their animals to repent. I want the mamas, the daddies, the children, the animals, all of them getting sackcloth and ashes. I want to repent. Nineveh was the cruelest, most vicious enemy of Israel. They had the most cruelest warfare. I'm not going to even tell you what they did to Israelites simply because of the image I don't want in your head. And God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh. Well, God says, go this way. Jonah goes this way. How many know that's life? God says, go this way, and you go that way. You know what repentance is? You go in that way, then you turn back and go this way. You change your mind. That's all repentance is changing of your mind. And so God says, Jonah, go this way. Jonah says, no, I'm going this way. And a storm comes up. Gets in a boat, going to Tarshish, and a storm comes up. Jonah's feeling guilty, telling him, you know, if you throw me overboard, the storm will stop. He knew what he had done. He knew he disobeyed God. So he threw him overboard. Storm ceased. Bible says a fish that God prepared swallowed him. And for 3 days and three nights, he's in the belly of this fish. And if you read Jonah chapter 2 and chapter 3, what you will see in it is Jonah was in hell. That was hell to him. In his disobedience, in his waywardness from God, he experienced hell. Jesus was 3 days and three nights, and guess where he was? Thank you. Thank you for reading your Bibles. Jesus, for 3 days and three nights, was in hell. Not in the grave. He never was in the tomb. His body was there. He wasn't. The Bible says when he died, he went to hell. and to preach to those who was in captivity. He knocked on the door of hell and said, open the door. And he opened the door and he went in. And he says, now give me the keys, the death, hell, and the grave. You don't have them anymore. They're mine. And so you see him in Revelation chapter 1 with the keys, the death, hell, and the grave. And John saw it. He said, I fell down at his feet. It's dead. I was overwhelmed by it. I couldn't believe it. And he laid his hand upon him and said, fear not. I'm the first and the last. I'm he that was dead, and yet I'm alive forevermore. Wow. So, Jonah gets this revelation, and he repents. And this fish, whatever it was, prepared by God, swims up to the shore. Guess where? Nineveh. And he vomited him up. Whew. That's hell. If that ain't hell, I don't know what hell is. That's about as much hell as I know what hell is. I hate to even vomit, much less be vomited out. I know it's tough, but you know what? This is what grace to do. Said when God saw what they had done, Nineveh, how they repented, he put a stop to their evil ways. He changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction that he threatened. I love this chapter. You ready for this chapter? The change of plans greatly upset Jonah. He became very angry. So he complained to God about it. Are we stupid or not sometimes? So he complained, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? I knew you would. I knew that if I went there and told them to repent, I knew if they repented, I knew exactly what you were just going to forgive them. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I knew you would. You know what? Can I boast one more time? I kind of love it because I've heard people come to me and they say to me, I knew you would. You've said it to me. She said it to me. You said it to me. I knew you would. I knew what you would do. I knew what you would do if you was put in that situation, because that's you. That's who God is. It's what God does. Oh, y'all ready? That's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you're a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger, filling with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. What's wrong with that? Gosh, what's wrong with that? That's the kind of God I want to serve, don't you? I want this God in my life. You know, all the other gods that came about, God created the world. The other gods who called themselves gods, they just wanted to rule over it. You read history, you read the history of all of the other gods, all these other gods, they didn't create anything. They just wanted to rule over it. Just kill me now. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted did not happen. Just kill me now. We've all said that. Every one of us have said that in a circumstance, in a situation. I knew it. Just kill me now. If I got to go, I'd just rather not live than have to experience this marvelous grace. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Is it right, Jonah? He didn't really reply. Jonah didn't say and said, he went out to the east side of the city, made a shelter to sit under, and he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves and over Jonah's head and shadowed him from the sun. And this eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. I love the Bible. Thank you, God. I am so thankful and grateful for this plant that I had nothing to do with. It grows up over me. And all of a sudden, in a moment, these leaves sprout out and it covers me from the heat of the sun. And I'm just sitting here in comfort. I'm so grateful. You got to get the picture. I'm so grateful. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate the stem of the plant, so it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he explained. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry that the plant died? He's getting a point across. Then the Lord said, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. That's what anger does. Brings death. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such great city? This is this unbelievable, undeserved, unmerited grace of God. And that when he gives it, he requires nothing from you. And it's a grace that sounds so unbelievable that there were people who took advantage of it. But the people who took advantage of it didn't know what it really was. Because when you really know what grace is, what it will do, it will rise up in you and motivate you to love God and his people in such an awesome way. But this is what you got to understand. I want you to stand with me. If I was saved and it was undeserved and it was unmerited, then is it always undeserved and unmerited? Yes. Okay. And what happened was, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he made me righteous. He made me holy. He made me blameless. But we as a church, as a whole, have been trying for over 2,000 years to become something you already are. And the worst thing you can do is try to become something you are. That's confusing. Isn't that confusing? Barbara, we have satellite radio, and I play Garth's station, and she plays this other station. And so I'm always hearing the right stuff and the pure stuff and the holy and righteous stuff. And that really, but she plays this other station. You hear all kind of stuff. And I got in the car, her car, and I was driving the other day, and this song came on the radio. And I used to love it. I can't remember all the words, but it has this one little phrase in it. I found myself crawling out when I was crawling in. I went, how confusing can that be? You're finding yourself crawling. I ran into myself crawling in, and I was crawling out. There are people today just as confused, trying to become something you already are. If you will say what you already are, then out of what you are, who you already are, will cause to happen what you already are. But if you're trying to become something that you already are, you're going to live in confusion the rest of your life. I am righteous. I am holy. I am pure. I am good. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am who God says that I am. I am. Moses, God, who am I going to say sent me? Tell them I am has sent you. I am whatever they need to be, I will be. I am. I am holy. I am righteous. I am pure. He says, I want you to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endowed with power. And once the Holy Spirit's come upon you, he did not say you would go and do witnesses. He said you would be a witness. It would emanate from you on a daily basis. You already are that. And when I try to become something that I already am, I will be struggling all my life. What if I do wrong? You're still righteous. You're still righteous. Spirit, and that stretches me. Will stretch. Listen, right before the book of Revelation, there's a small little book called Jude. Smallest book, just one chapter. And Jude says, there's going to be those that are going to come in after who's going to worm their way into the church. And they're going to try to take this God's grace and tell you you can live any kind of life you want to live now that you have this grace. And he's, that's not the way it is. God didn't give me this grace to live any way I want to live. He gave me this grace to live the way he wants me to live. See, one of my favorite passages of scripture, the only thing... Paul did not think he was unworthy to receive God's grace. He never thought he was unworthy of that. But he did think he was unworthy of something. And in this, he said, I am unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But the grace that was given me, I labored more abundantly than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace that was within me. And so we can never boast about it because it's God's grace that's given it to us and it just keeps flowing. And you can say it like this: the mercies of God are new every morning. The grace of God is new every morning. His grace is new every moment of the day. I've had people over the years, and I will still do it, who can't rid themselves of condemnation and guilt over something. And I'll bring them in here, and I'll have them kneel at the altar. And I'll take a stole that's over me, and I'll say to them, look at me. And I'll say, I absolve you of all of your sins, all of your guilt, and all of your shame. You are the righteousness of God. You're holy in God. And I'll take that stole and I'll place over them. And I said, you see this as a representation of who you really are. Not who you're telling yourself you are, who God is saying that you are. And I've never done that. That person didn't rise up and walk out those doors, a whole person. Whole person. On his way to get Christians to take them to prison, to have them beheaded, to have them fed the lions. Paul is stopped. And Jesus said, don't do this, Paul. Why are you persecuting me? That's the ultimate of grace. You're killing people, Paul. You're killing people. And God's grace just reached out to him and made him an apostle. And he had no idea, said last week, he had no idea when he was writing these letters to the churches. He wasn't writing these letters to the churches to be talked about today. He wasn't writing those letters to be put in a Bible and called the scriptures. He wasn't writing letters. He didn't know they were going to become the scriptures. He didn't know that. But he wanted so much people to understand this grace. He wanted them so much to understand this grace that they weren't getting. He kept writing, when he's in prison, I'll write a letter. I ain't there in person, but I'll send you this letter. I'll do anything I can do to get you this thing. I'd die for it. And he did. I'll die for it. And he had his head cut off. You know why? Because of his message of grace. They decapitated him because he believed that God accepted you, whether you're circumcised or not. That God of this universe accepts you regardless if nobody else accepts you. And buddy, I tell you what, if you get a hold of that, it just causes you to want to give grace and mercy. It causes you to want to walk it out. It's the kindness of God that brings people to repentance. One other thought. All that Israel went through, God said this about him. He says, once they return to their land, once they get out of all this trouble, people don't take instructions when they're in trouble. But once they get out of the trouble, they get back into the land that God has for them, they'll take responsibility for what they did. Once they get all the goodness. Aren't you glad that's the God you serve? I'm not pushing you down when you're down. Wow. I'm not pushing you down when you're already... I'm already down. Don't push me down any further. I'm already there. God says, no, I'm going to lift you up. And I'm not going to worry about anything. Once you come to your senses, you'll take responsibility. You won't blame it on anybody else anymore. You'll see where you came from. Real quickly, you want to begin anew a life in God that's not based upon what you do or not do. You want to begin a new life in God based upon who God says you are right now, righteous, pure, holy. Before you even take this, would you just come and stand across this front right now real quickly? You want to start your life anew with this understanding. I really want to embrace this. Not just believe it up here. I want to embrace this. You know where all this came from? Okay. And I'll try to close with this. You know what Abraham did? I don't know why God didn't use Noah. My gosh, he was a man who walked blameless before the Lord. God didn't use Noah for faith. He didn't use him to start this religion. He didn't use Noah. I would have got Noah. He calls a man who's far, far, far away out of the land of the Chaldeans, out of the lands of foreign gods, speaks to him and says, you're going to be a father of many nations. Come in, stand right here, darling. Because if you don't get anything else, you're going to get this. I want you to watch this, okay? Here's what he told Abraham. He didn't give him any laws. He didn't give him any... Abraham, you got to do this, 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 and this. He gave him none of that. This is what he did. Abraham believed God, watch this, and received his promises. He believed God and received, that's all he did. If you leave here today, I want you to just do that. I believe God and I receive his promises. I'm going to live that. I'm going to live that. All I got to do is believe God and receive his promises. And that's all he said for Abraham to do. And that's all Abraham did. Came the father of many nations. Talk about him still today. Father Abraham. The father of the Christian faith. Wow. And all he had to do is believe and receive. And that's all you have to do. And you know what? You're the only one who come to stay here. But there's about 40 more that should have come. But it's okay. You don't have to. But this is a representation of what all of us, all we're going to do now is believe God and receive His promises. Receive His promises. Because there's been a real awakening in you over the last several months. Spiritual awakening in you. And the joy that you never thought would come back is coming back. And the peace that you never thought would come back is coming back. And the thrill of life that you never thought would come back is coming back. And the joyfulness of your life is you thought maybe would never come back is coming back. Because this God of superabundant grace just pours it out on His children. And all we had to do is receive it. Amen. God bless you. Amen. As you come in to receive your elements, the eldership come and take their places. And then after that, we're going to have an installation of a very special person into a very special ministry. So don't go away. It's going to be really powerful. Out to your left and go to your right. Out to your left and to your right. Out to your left and to the right. And you'll make it. Like what it says this on the screen, remembering. And that's what this is about. Everything I just talked about is so that you can remember what He did and what it means to you. What He did and what it means to you. The night He took the bread, He broke it and said, "This is My body, take in remembrance of Me." Then He reached in and He took the cup, called it the cup of blessing. Blessing you with salvation, blessing you with eternal, blessing you with faith, righteousness, all the good stuff. I'm just blessing you with it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for who we are in you. Thank you if I can just grasp that and hold to that, that I'll see that I am that and will live that. In Jesus' name, amen. You be seated for a moment, and I'm going to ask Joy and Kitty if they would join me up here. And all the eldership, I want to ask the eldership if they'll come and stand behind Joy and Kitty. And over the years, we ordained Joy a pastor. How many? 2 or 3 years ago? No, it was longer than that. It was about 2012. Was it 12? Wow. Time flies. But we ordained Joy a pastor back then. And I just want to say, Joy, that I've just admired you for many years. And I've watched you just such grow in such grace and wisdom of God. And it's just, I know when you and Kitty got together years ago, you had to really go through a screening situation. And we really had to, you know, this is one of our prime subjects. And it wasn't that easy to get in, but you passed all the tests and you made it. And we ought to give that for everybody. But you have certainly lived the scriptures that the Bible talks about. If you're going to be in this office, then this is the character you need to be. And you portray that character. You portray that character of soberness and sound mind and love and concern. And you carry that very well. And we have heard God, okay? And since we've heard God, and concerning this office, your pastor over everybody, but specifically right now, fulfilling this to our youth. And we are installing you into that in the presence of this congregation. And I'm going to ask you to stand in unity with this moment. And you're now ready to take this office and to faithfully serve this congregation. Will you preach and teach the pure word in accordance with what we believe here at EWC? And especially adorn the doctrine of our Savior and a holy life and godly conversation. And upon the command and the ordinance of God, I now install you as an officer of minister and pastor of our youth. And may the blessings of the Lord be upon you, that you may bring forth much fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. And I have all confidence in that. And today, Jim walked in with one of our staffs that we give away and honor people for what they do. And I think this is so appropriate today because I'm seeing this as a shepherd staff today. And I love the scripture he has on is Isaiah 6:16, which says, ask for the ancient paths. When you get at a crossroad and you don't know what to do, ask the Lord for the ancient paths. And he said, walk in them and you'll find rest for your soul. And in everything we are in life, God gave you a helpmeet, one called alongside to help you. And the helpmeet in Genesis is the same word that Jesus used in John 14. And he said, I'm going to give you a helpmeet. I'm going to give you a paraclete. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So you have the Holy Spirit in you and next to you to help you along the way. And I just love both of you. I bless you with all of my heart. This congregation blesses you. You are highly, highly thought of in this congregation. Congregation, I'm about to say a conversation. So would you hold that for a moment? Father, I thank you, and I today install Joy into this youth ministry. I thank you, Lord, that his calling far reaches out more than that. It reaches to every person in this body. It even reaches out into our community and people that he is coaching and training. And we just thank you, God, that the impact that he's going to continue to have on people, we give you praise for that and honor for that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, if you just, first Wednesday this Wednesday, don't forget about that. Joy's going to be preaching, gets installed, and he's going to preach Wednesday night. How about that? So, God bless you. Have a great day. See you again real soon.